Now, are you all ready for the Word?
Yes.
I've got something to help your heart. It's going to stabilize your world. It's going to take all the stuff that's in your heart that's messing with your mind and making you feel frustrated and overwhelmed. It's going to be removed today just by a shift in your gaze. A faith focus changes everything. Now, I'm going to be using the New King James Version of the Bible while I teach today, so if my wording's a little different than yours, that's why you can follow along, of course, in your own Bible or the references they have on the screen. So go with me in your Bible, if you would, please, to Hebrews chapter 13. And while you're turning there, let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your love for us. Thank you for your life in us. We are the redeemed of the Lord, so we say so. We say, by faith, we're not nervous about nothing. We're not afraid of the past. We're not afraid of the future. Our heart is fixed. We're trusting in the Lord. Jesus, your Lord, your perfect provision on Calvary's cross covers us completely. Thank you for eternal redemption. Thank you, Lord, that every heart finds help and hope. Thank you that miracles manifest. Thank you that every person leaves this place as a believer and not a doubter. In Jesus' name I pray, and all God's people said,
amen.
You know, precious friend, we live in a time that's turbulent. It's kind of tough. Everything's shifting. Everything's changing. Seems like all the nations of the world need bailed out. You know, America need bailed out. Greece needed bailed out. Spain needs bailed out. Portugal needs bailed out. Japan needs help. The nations of the world are trembling because everything shifts. When you look at things that are shifty or things that move, it can trouble you. It can get into your heart. See, Jesus said in John 14, let not your heart be troubled. See, the key to keeping trouble out of our heart is up to us. Jesus delegated that privilege to getting trouble out of our lives to us. Let not your heart be troubled. But for your heart not to be troubled, you can't look to what changes. Do you know politicians change? Governments change. Your employer changes. Businesses change. People change. That's why we call them two-faced. Turn to your neighbor and say, thank God that's not you. Hallelujah, huh? Yeah, everybody can be a little shifty. And so look at verse 8 says, Hebrews 13, verse 8. The Bible says Jesus Christ is the same. Notice the only one in this earth arena who is ever constant is Jesus. Jesus Christ is the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. If you're going to keep the trouble that's troubling you out of you, you've got to fix your eyes on what is constant. Let me explain it by telling you a little story. Many years ago, when I first came to California, I'm a little Midwest boy. I was born and raised in the state of Michigan. My father's a bricklayer. I'm one of five children. I lived out in the country. My family world fell apart, and so I began to move a lot, different states, different regions. I finally came to California to go to college. When I was out here, a family who had money gave me favor. Now, I didn't qualify for their favor. They just extended their favor. See, this is what God does for us. God qualified you for His favor, not because of you. He qualified you for His favor because of Jesus. And Jesus extends His favor to all of us if you just receive and believe what He did for you. So this family gave me favor, and they said to me one day, they said, Keith, have you ever been out on the Pacific Ocean? I said, no, sir, I've never been on the Pacific Ocean. They said, well, we'd like to take you out on the Pacific Ocean in our boat and do some deep sea fishing. I said, well, thank you very much. I'd be delighted to go. They said, we would like you to meet us at a hotel the night before, and then we'll get up very early the next morning and go out on our own boat. I said, okay, thank you very much. I was so excited. They gave me the name of a hotel in a town called Bel Air, California. Now, I don't know if you know it or not, but Bel Air is called high-end. It's very exclusive. It's very rich. It's nicer than Beverly Hills. Now, I had heard of Beverly Hills, but I did not hear of Bel Air. When I drove up in my old ratty, tatty, beat-up, good-for-nothing car, I drove up into this hotel that was full of exotic automobiles. And I thought, oh my goodness, I don't deserve to be here. I cannot qualify in and of myself or in and of my ability to be here. But you know what? I wasn't qualified in and of myself. I was pre-qualified by the ability of somebody else. So I just got out of my car, asked the guy to drive a little way and say, enjoy that one, you know, mister. And I just walked in the front door of this exotic hotel that I had no right to be in, and everything was paid for. I was pre-qualified. Do you know what, precious Finn? When we bought the Middle East Mission Center, I was pre-qualified to do the deal because I carried a call. Do you know, in the entire transaction, I never once was asked for a financial document. I never once was asked to give them a bank slip to show that I had any money. They just thought I was loaded. I just act like I had money. Jesus pre-qualified me to walk out the revelation and the manifestation of the Middle East Life Center. And you know what, precious friend? That's what grace does. Grace puts you in a place of pre-qualification, not based on your effort, not based on what you do right, and it's not based on what you do wrong. It's based only on what Jesus Christ has done at the cross. And so I went in there. I stayed in this beautiful room. I had all my expenses paid. The next morning, I got up real early. We were out on the boat. We got way out in the Pacific. And man, when you get out on the Pacific, everything gets to moving. And if you're looking at things that change, it will change you. It will bring a turbulence or a trouble to your heart. In fact, if you keep looking long enough at things that are shifty and changing, you will bow to them. They will become your Lord. See, some of you have a lot of turbulence in your life, or with your wife, or with your kids, or with your world, or with your health, or with your finances. You're getting all kinds of bad reports, and you're keeping your focus on the things that are changing. I was all bent over, thinking to myself, Lord, what in the world am I doing out here? I don't even like this. And while I was all bent over thinking that my inner world was going to meet the outer world, I was so overwhelmed. While I'm holding on for dear life, criticizing myself for being out in the midst of trouble, saying, why did I even accept this invitation? I can't stand this. Suddenly, there was a voice behind me, a hand on my shoulder. Keith, stand up straight. And I turned around and looked over my shoulder, and it was the captain of the ship. I stood up straight. I felt like saying, why aren't you at the wheel? You know, I didn't. But he had other people on the wheel. I stood up straight and he put his hand on my shoulder and he said, Keith, listen, if you keep looking, it's what's troubling you. The trouble will get in you. You have to keep your eyes in the horizon on what is fixed. He pointed to a spot in the horizon. He said, if you will look to what is fixed, what is troubling you can't get in you. See, you may still be in the trouble, but the trouble doesn't have to be in you. The way you do that in your world, the way you do that in your life, is you look to Jesus. Jesus Christ is your constant. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If you believe that, give the Lord a shout. Hallelujah. When you look to Jesus, you find what he did. That's why the cross is the key to everything. The power is in the cross. The power is not in your ability. The power is not in your doing. So if we're looking to Jesus, what do we see? See, some people just see, oh, Jesus, he was born in a manger. I know the Christmas story. Oh, I know Jesus, he's the miracle man. He does a lot of miracles. Well, that's about Jesus, and those are true stories. However, that doesn't stabilize you. What stabilizes you when you look to Jesus is to see what he's loaded with. Look at the Bible says in John's Gospel chapter 1. It says this in verse 17. It says the law was given through Moses. Now remember, the law, the covenant of the law, was given as a set of rules or regulations that we had to do to qualify ourselves for the favor of the Father based on our ability. The problem with the system, which, by the way, the Bible says God found fault with, the problem with the system of the law, it was based on our ability to perform properly. And so none of us who were human could ever perform properly. Jesus is the only one who could perform it properly. So Jesus became the perfect sacrifice to establish a new covenant based on his ability and not our ability. The scripture says the law based on our ability, was given through Moses, but, everybody say but. I would say thank God for the buts of the Bible. Hallelujah. Because listen, if you don't understand that you're in the new covenant of grace, you can live your entire life disappointed with you. Thinking that you have to qualify for your entrance based on your ability, what you do right, what you do wrong, or how much you do something. It's not based on you, it's based on the one who pre-qualified you. It's the obedience of faith. Our obedience is our faith in Jesus, and then we receive of His righteousness. Righteousness means right standing with God. The Bible says if righteousness, this is Galatians 2:21, if righteousness could come through the law or your ability to perform, then Jesus died in vain. Your right standing with God is not based on what you do right, and it's not based on what you do wrong. Your right standing with God is based strictly on the cross of Jesus Christ. Your faith in Jesus Christ gives you access to who Jesus is. It says grace and truth came through Jesus. Now think about this. Jesus is the Word. The Word, Jesus, was made flesh. We always have told people the truth. The truth is part of the Word, but it's not the whole Word. The whole Word of Jesus is grace and truth. In other words, it's the truth of grace, or a grace truth that stabilizes you. My job in ministry is to find people who are bending over to the things that are changing. Because no matter what they do on their own to fix their world, they can't. But if you shift and look to the one who's ever constant and glory in the work of Calvary's cross, you can receive an abundance of grace. You can know you are righteous based on your believing. And through the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, you reign. You have your victory in life based on your believing. Amen. Grace and truth are what you find in Jesus. Yeah. He is the living Word. Grace is a favor you gain that's independent of your effort. It's just because. When I was favored to stay in that hotel in Bel Air, California, had nothing to do with me. It had to do with somebody who qualified me. A couple of weeks ago, we had friends visiting us here in California. One afternoon, I took off of work and I gave them a tour. Hollywood, Beverly Hills, Bel Air, Santa Monica, all the places. And I drove through Bel Air and I said, I stayed in that hotel. My wife Heidi said, you stayed there? I said, oh, baby, I get around. Hallelujah. You know you. She says, how come I went with you? I said, hi, this is years before I ever knew you. How'd you get to stay in such a nice place? I said, well, I'm just well connected. You know, I just have a lot of money. No, I said, somebody pre-qualified. So I told him the story. See, in life, Jesus wants everything stable. He wants everything to work. Now, in the world, you're still going to have tribulation, test, and trial, but it doesn't have to trouble you. You can be in the midst of it, but if you're always looking to the work of the cross, then you're going to find the favor of the Father, and He's going to pre-qualify you to receive everything He wants you to have. So grace and truth come in that capacity. You know, when I think about the grace and truth of God, I sometimes try to illustrate so people can understand. You know, I think a lot of times people who love Jesus know certain truths, but the truths are never manifesting. They know joy should be full, but they only have puny little joy. They know peace should be perfect, but only they have partial peace. They know they should be prosperous, but they're just trying to get by and have enough money to get into next month, you know? Whatever it is. In other words, a lot of people know a lot of promises, but they're not flourishing in the promises of God. You know the scripture says in the book of Psalm that the righteous, that's you, not based on what you do, that's you based on who you believe. Jesus makes you righteous. The righteous shall flourish like a palm. See, we should be ever flourishing where the truth of God's word should be ever in full manifestation. Let me explain a little story to kind of give you an application of what I mean by grace and truth. In fact, to do this, let's go back to Hebrews chapter 13. Look at the Bible says in verse 9. Again, we read verse 8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and forever. Verse 9, do not be carried about with various and strange doctrines. Listen, people that always want you to depend on your own ability, I would be nice to them, but I would just put everything on hold. Because your own ability is not going to get you out of the trouble on your good ship. The only one who's going to get you out of trouble is the one who's ever constant and proved himself ever faithful. Get your eyes on Jesus' ability and Jesus' finished work, and then cooperate with him. You'll imitate him. You'll have fruits of righteousness, but your righteousness is established in him alone. And what you have to do, don't be carried about with these funny forms or get back to a system based on your performance. You're living in a system based on Jesus' performance. Don't be carried about with various and strange doctrines, for it is good. Everybody say it's good. What I'm getting ready to share now is good for you. It is good that your hearts be established in grace or by grace. See, your heart is your field. Your heart is what you believe with. The Bible says you believe with your heart and you confess with your mouth. What you hold in your heart, your mouth will let you know about. Your mouth will always tell you what you're believing. Out of the abundance of your heart, Jesus said, your mouth will speak. And so it's important to know your heart is your growing ground. That's where promises are received. That's where they believed, and that's where they can grow to manifestation. But the scripture says it is good that your heart, your growing ground, is established in grace, not just with truth. Because the fullness of the word Jesus is grace and truth, or the truth of grace, or a grace truth. Your heart has to be established in his ability, in his effort, then the truth will prevail. Let me tell you a little story to explain this even further. You all know that 1 year ago this month, our youngest son, Josh, married the Simmons daughter, Kelsey, right here at the Rock Church on this in this auditorium. And it was a joyous time. We just loved every minute of it. But we had so many family members coming out for the wedding, flying in from all over the place. And a couple days before people were to arrive at our house, Heidi, my wonderful wife, says to me, "Keith, listen, I got an idea. I will make sure everything's nice inside where everybody's sleeping and, you know, the towels and this, that, and the other. But you make sure everything's nice outside." We had so many people coming, we couldn't house everybody. We had to have some of our friends take some of our relatives and stuff. And, of course, we sent all the hard cases away to somebody else, you know. I don't know why, but all the hard cases seem to be on Heidi's side of the family. Anyway, that being as it were, anyway, we had so many precious people coming. They didn't want to stay for a couple of days. They wanted to be here a couple of weeks in California and have vacation, which was wonderful. So Heidi said, "By the way, outside in the garden, we have a little flower garden, circular garden." She said, "Keith, those plants are so puny, they didn't flourish. They're not flowering. We want it to look nice." I said, "Heidi, I just planted those a month or two ago. I went to the store and got these things in plastic things and put them in the soil." But she said, "They're not growing." I said, "They're alive, Heidi. They're green. They're going to come along." She says, "You got to get them growing." I said, "Okay, my wonderful wife, I shall do that." So being a good husband, I went to the hardware store. I went down to the fertilizer section and I bought some Miracle Grow. So I brought this exact box of Miracle-Gro home. Heidi was in the kitchen. I said, "Look, Heidi, I got some Miracle-Gro." And she started laughing at me. She said, "You're crazy." I says, "What do you mean?" She said, "That's not going to work in 2 days." I said, "Oh, you of little faith. This is the problem with you. I'm a man full of faith and power. Hallelujah." She said, "You need to do something better." I said, "Yes, you're exactly right, my dear." So I went back to the store and I bought plants that were full grown, fully flowering. I replanted the whole thing so it was in full bloom. So when everybody came, they walked around our little yard, they said, "Oh, Keith, you have such wonderful flowers." I said, "You know, just kind of runs in the family, you know. It's just, I got a green thumb, I guess, you know, it's the kind of thing." But here's the deal. The plants that were there, there was nothing wrong with them. They just weren't triggered to a fullness. Grace is a spiritual fertilizer that triggers the truth. Grace established in your heart based on Jesus' perfect sacrifice. When you're ever established in his work, in his ability. And grace, by the way, dear friend, is outlined in Hebrews chapter 8. You ought to take time sometime there and realize that God said the old system, based on your performance, is done. The old system was what you had to do, what you had to do right. The new system is all based on what God will do. It's wonderful. And the conclusion to the matter is found in this, in verse 12 of Hebrews 8, that He will remember your sins no more, that all your sins have been forgiven and forgotten. When you know you're righteous through what He has done, you can have victory over every sin component in your life, every element in life that seems to trouble you, and grace will prevail. Well, you have abundant favor. You have access to everything the Father has for you. Give the Lord a shout, somebody. Hallelujah. Yeah. Grace is the ingredient that makes miracles grow. Your heart has to be established in grace. A lot of times we always want to tell people the truth. So we're always judging people, what they did wrong, what they did wrong. And then people always feel condemned. They feel like they died on the inside. The ministry of the law, according to the Apostle Paul in the book of Corinthians, is condemnation and death. If you're trying to qualify your righteousness based on your effort, you're in trouble. But if you just shift and focus and receive of His love based on what Jesus has done, and know that your righteousness is your obedience to His, you know, your faith in His obedience, then suddenly you're in a position where your life can change, because now you're enabled by the grace of God, by His power, His favor, His ability, where you can have victory in everything. Go with me in your Bible, if you would, to Luke chapter 1. Let me go very, very quickly to show you this principle. Are you all having a good time today?
Yes.
See, I always believe that grace has to be given so truth can flourish. And if you really study certain things, you know, Paul said it this way, let all your words be with grace. All your words have to have a grace component to it, so people can handle the truth and the truth can transform them. Luke chapter 1, there's a story where Gabriel was sent from the Father, from God, to Miss Mary. Mary was most probably a teenage girl. Look at it says in verse 28. Having come in, he said to her, the angel said to her, rejoice! Highly favored when the Lord is with you. Notice that before the assignment or the truth was given, grace was granted. Until you know that God loves you completely, until you can believe that, independent on your effort, independent on what you've done right, or independent on what you've done wrong, it's just because Jesus went to the cross. Until you know and can receive God loves you completely and say yes to that, you can never handle the truth fully. It will never flourish. You'll always just have a little stunted growth, because you'll think for you to gain the fullness of peace or the fullness of joy or the fullness of healing, it's based on your effort. Yeah. Working harder, praying harder, doing more, you know, until you're exhausted. It's not up to you. You're praying, you're fasting, all these things are your cooperation with what He's done. So notice, grace was granted. Rejoice, you're highly favored. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. But she, when she saw Him, she was troubled at this saying. What kind of greeting is this? See, this confuses people who live according to their own ability. I mean, they don't like it. They like to glory in their own effort, their own work, their own doing. So she was troubled at this. Then the angel said to her, do not be afraid. You found grace with God. You found favor with God. How? Just because. Just because God loves you. You know, today you are highly favored by the Father, not because of you, but because of the cross, because of Jesus Christ. You have access to everything with a believing heart. So then, after grace was given, you can read the story, He gave the assignment. You're going to conceive, the Bible says. Bring forth a son. You can read it on. You're going to call His name Jesus. He'll save the world from their sins. And then she says, how can this be, since I don't know a man? In other words, once she heard the truth, it was impossible, because she thought she had to do it in and of herself. I've not yet known a man. I've not had sexual relationships to have a baby. But notice verse 35, the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Notice that when your heart is shifted to what is ever constant, the cross of Jesus Christ, Jesus' perfect work, when your eyes and your gaze is on Him with thanksgiving, when you're looking to Jesus, you attract the work of the Spirit. When your heart's established in grace, in His ability, in favor that He has given, Then the Holy Spirit begins to orchestrate things. See, I've lived this out in these last this last 12 months since I was last with you in the Middle East. Because before, God began to equip me to shift my focus and get my eyes off my trouble. Because you know what? My world's full of trouble. I could actually tell you all my problems today and put all of you in depression. I've got that much trouble right now in my world. But you know what? I don't gaze long at my trouble. I know it's there, and then I shift. I say, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you that the equipping is in you. Thank you that the part of the work of the grace, according to Hebrews chapter 8, is the Spirit of God writes on the walls of my heart. Daily instructions. It's wonderful. Let your heart be established in grace. Let miracles grow. Let things develop. What did Mary say once she got the fullness of the truth with the grace? She said, be it unto me according to your word. Let me show you one other thing real quick. Go with me to Luke chapter 3. You know, in Mark chapter 4, Jesus said that when the word comes to your heart, Satan will come immediately to try to steal the word so the word doesn't work. I always thought that if Satan steals the word, he steals the truth portion of the word. But that's not true, because if you go down to Burger King or a fast food place or a restaurant or, you know, a grocery store today and ask people in the parking lot, do you know a Bible verse? They all know a Bible verse. In fact, they all can quote the Lord's Prayer. It's all Bible verses. A lot of people can quote John 3:16. It's a Bible verse. There's a lot of people living with the truth, but they're frustrated with it because they think they got to manifest it. The manifestation of the truth is not up to you. It's up to what's planted in your heart, the grace of God. When your heart's established in His ability through who you're gazing and receiving of the massive, unconditional love and favor, truth is triggered. And your corresponding actions, your fruits of righteousness follow. And so it's interesting that sometimes when the devil comes to steal the word, it's not the truth component, it's the grace component. And then people beat themselves over the head and they say, oh, I did this wrong, or I said this wrong, I act ugly on the freeway, I should have did this, I was naughty, or whatever. And then they judge themselves harshly. And they look over the side of the ship saying, I'm just a loser. I can't do this right. I made another mistake. And they live in condemnation based on their performance. Look at the story very quickly. Luke 3:21, when all the people were baptized, came to pass, Jesus was also baptized while he prayed. The heaven was open. Goes on to say, and the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, now notice, this is the voice of God. This is the word of God. You are my beloved son. See, beloved is a grace-filled term, that you're highly loved and favored. In you, I am well pleased. Friend, if you get nothing else from the service today, I hope you'll memorize this phrase. Put it in your spirit, and every day, take some time throughout the days just to gaze at the glory of Jesus' finished work on the cross. Say that over yourself. I am your beloved one. I'm your beloved son. I'm your beloved daughter. You are well pleased in me. The Father's pleasure with you is not based on you. Based on He sees you through the blood of Jesus. So the Father gave Jesus a word that He was beloved. He was highly favored. And now He rises up out of the water. He's 30 years old. He'd never performed one miracle. And He's getting ready to start public ministry. But, true to form, Satan comes to steal the word. Look a few verses later. Luke chapter 4, verse 3. The devil came to Jesus. Remember, this is the first temptation. If you are the Son of God. Notice that the devil will quote the word, but periodically he will leave out a word. That's not what the Father said to Jesus. The Father didn't say, you're my Son of God. He said, you're my beloved Son of God. When the devil brought the temptation, he didn't take the wholeness of the word. He took the component of grace out of the word and just gave Jesus a truth. And when you just live with a truth without your heart established in grace, the devil will make you perform. Yeah. The temptation is to go back to your own ability to save yourself. If you're the Son of God, command the stone, symbolizing the system of the law, based on your ability to perform right, let it become your food or your bread or your feeding. Friend, many times in life, We get frustrated in life, and we're on our ship in life, frustrated with our kids, our family, our world, our finances, our health, this report, that report, the government, this, that, the employer, whatever it is, and we're trying to fix everything based in our own ability. We need to look to Jesus Christ, look to the finished work of the cross, stabilize our world, say, thank you, Jesus. You pre-qualified me for everything. I want my heart established in the fact I am loved completely. I am favored abundantly. I am blessed eternally because of Jesus Christ and the blood that He shed for me. When you put your faith in Jesus and let your heart be established in His favor and love for you, then the truth or the assignments of life that you carry can be fully fulfilled and they can flourish in every part of your life. You know what? I love this so much. I'm just getting started, but I'm all out of time. Did you like the word today? Give the Lord a shout. Hallelujah! Give the Lord a shout! Wow.